This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the House is moving closer to a vote on the tax reform bill. I was on Capitol Hill earlier today meeting with House leaders on various provisions of their version of the tax bill. The Senate also working on a version of their own. We'll get the latest from the Senate from CNS News Editor-in-Chief Terry Jeffrey, who joins me in just a moment. Also, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is still testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. He's been up there since 10 o'clock this morning. I'll have some highlights of that hearing, and we'll be joined by Judiciary Committee member Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas. And I'll continue to share with you the highlights of my recent trip to the Middle East. Yesterday, we discussed with Dr. Michael Youssef the request by Egyptian military and religious leaders, all Islamic, for the U.S. to declare the Muslim Brotherhood a foreign terrorist organization. There was also discussion about Iran. How do Egyptian leaders view Iran? Well, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who was on the trip with me, joins me for that conversation. That and your phone calls still to come here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home this afternoon, not to worry. All archived right there at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins, you can keep up with me and what's happening here in our nation's capital. All right, as I mentioned, I was up on Capitol Hill this afternoon working with House leadership on provisions of the tax reform bill, including the repeal of the government muzzle on churches and nonprofits, known as the Johnson Amendment. We're getting very close to where we need to be on that measure. Also, some pro-life measures in the bill. Overall, looking pretty good. The Senate is working on a tax reform package of their own. Joining us now is Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. Terry, I understand you've been in the Senate monitoring the Senate Finance Committee today. What do things look like on the Senate side?
Well, I was watching on C-SPAN. I think the most important thing, and it's huge, is they're now talking about including language in the Senate bill that will repeal the individual mandate in Obamacare, and that does two things. Number one, it gets Obamacare. It takes out the key, most unconstitutional, outrageous part of Obamacare, the part that gives the federal government leverage over us and forces us for the first time in the history of the United States to buy a product. But the second thing it does, Tony, is it would free up, according to the CBO, $338 billion in additional tax cuts that they could put in there. And I think when you look at the House bill where they doubled the standard deduction, but they took away a lot of deductions that middle-class families with kids take, that could provide room to make the final tax bill a bill that really would help traditional married couple families that are trying to raise their kids.
Yeah, let me explain that to our listeners how this works. Because this is in the reconciliation and they have budget instructions on the reconciliation, they have to work within, I think it's about a $1.5 trillion dollar amount. That's what they have to work with. And so everything has to add up. But as you pointed out, something that really wasn't expected to go after the individual mandate, take on Obamacare, it allows him to do more tax cuts that will affect the American family. That means we could potentially see, as some in the Senate want to see, the child tax credit doubled. We could even see the Johnson Amendment expanded because there's some concern that it's going to cost too much. So this is a pretty big breakthrough.
It's huge. You know, and I'll say this. You know, I remember 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when Obamacare was coming up through the Senate, Senator Orrin Hatch was in the ranking committee member on the Finance Committee. Democrats controlled the Congress. And Orrin Hatch was the first leading voice pointing out the unconstitutionality of the individual mandate. And he actually did an excellent job on that back then. And I think it's great that we come around now, all these years later, and it's Hatch as chairman of the committee that is now willing to take a stand and put this in the bill. It should be there. I think the Republicans in the House need to stand with the Senate and do it, and it'll be so much better, this bill, for the country and for the way it cuts taxes if they follow through on what they're talking about doing today.
So, Terry Jeffrey, does this fit within the reconciliation process, and does it make it through what's called the birdbath?
Yeah, it does, and it's very funny, Tony. I mean, there's a lot of things that are providential about this, because remember, you know, in Obamacare, there is language that says that individuals shall, and that's the word the law uses, shall maintain what they call minimum essential coverage. It was telling us we had to buy health insurance. But then they were enforcing it with, quote-unquote, a penalty, which was enforced by the IRS through the tax code. When it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, the Obama administration was arguing that they could force people to buy health insurance based on the Commerce Clause, which gives Congress the power to regulate commerce between states, et cetera. And Hatch had argued correctly that that was not true. And I remember back at the time, the CBO had issued a study that never in the history of our country had the federal government ever ordered individuals to buy any product or service. It would be the first time. Well, as I'm sure many of your listeners remember, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote a completely contradictory decision, which on the bottom line, he said, yes, we can't under the Commerce Clause force people to buy a product, but Congress is using the tax code to impose this penalty, and this is part of the taxing power of the federal government. Therefore, the only thing holding in place the individual mandate in Obamacare is not the word shall, that you shall buy insurance, because they don't have the power under the Commerce Clause to do that, but the tax. And so as Orrin Hatch was pointing out in the Finance Committee today to Democrats who were really having a breakdown over this, is that this is part of the Internal Revenue Code, and what we are dealing with here in the Finance Committee is the Internal Revenue Code. And so the way that John Roberts interpreted Obamacare so that it would survive the Supreme Court actually set the table for what is happening in the Finance Committee today to get rid of the individual mandate and make this tax reform bill so much better.
Well, and Terry Jeffrey, this, once you take the individual mandate out, then the whole thing begins to unravel.
It does. I mean, it really is at the core of what Obamacare was all about. If they cannot force us, you know, you think about it, in intelligent people who are really following this understood it at the time, once you force people to buy health insurance, and health insurance is regulated by the government, they can start forcing you to do all kinds of outrageous things, like, for example, tell you you have to pay for coverage that covers abortion-inducing drugs right. and devices. And immediately when the Obama administration got this in place, that's exactly what they did. I mean, it is not overstating it to say that the individual mandate was a significant step towards tyrannical government in the United States. When you have a government that believes it can tell people that they have to cooperate in the deliberate taking of an innocent human life, that is evil. There's no other word for it. And it was the first step towards that particular evil in Obamacare was when Congress passed the law saying that they could, in fact, force us to buy health insurance, sweeping aside the constitutional restrictions that did not allow them to do so. And unfortunately, John Roberts didn't have the moral courage on the Supreme Court to side with the conservatives on the court and strike it down on that basis. But here, ironically, it's coming back to haunt them.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. My guest, news coming out of the Senate as they're working on their tax reform bill, including in the tax reform bill, as Terry is just describing to us, the unraveling of Obamacare by eliminating the individual mandate. Now, Terry, if they can mandate that you buy something, and this is a mandate universal, everybody has to have it, they can also charge you whatever you want because it eliminates the choice in it, which is why one of the reasons we've seen the huge increase in healthcare costs.
Exactly. I mean, it eliminates the free market, Tony. And at the time, when they passed Obamacare, a lot of people were saying this is a step towards a single payer system. In other words, towards specialized
right.
medicine. And it clearly was. And Obamacare is failing. And if it were not reversed, we would be going towards specialized medicine. In fact, a huge percentage of the people, you know, getting health care right now are either retired people on Medicare or they're people on Medicaid. It's a very large percentage. And when you add in the people who are getting subsidies to buy insurance in the Obamacare exchanges, you're talking about a very big leverage that the federal government has over our healthcare system. And the healthcare, in the healthcare, quote unquote, industry, and I'm not sure that's really the right word for it, that is a location where people make some of the most morally consequential decisions in their lives. And to have the federal government in control of that is an outrage. And it looks like we may be able to make a giant rollback in that now. And that is tremendous.
So the savings that can then allow the expansion of other tax reforms, as we were talking about, maybe the child tax credit being the House moved it up to $1,600 from $1,000, an idea, the whole idea going back to the 90s when FRC was promoting that concept. Some in the Senate want to double it. Where does the savings come from for the federal government by eliminating the individual mandate?
So, well, the way the CBO analyzes it is that there are going to be a good number of people who just decide they're not going to buy insurance. They choose not to. And if they went into the exchanges and bought insurance, a lot of them would get tax credits, subsidies from other taxpayers to buy insurance. Also, when people go now to sign up in the exchanges for health insurance, because they're required to do so by the federal government, they expand it in Medicaid, and they find out some of them qualify for Medicaid. So instead of putting them into a private health insurance plan with a subsidy, they go directly onto the federal dole with Medicaid. So those two things combined, savings from the subsidies and savings from Medicaid, would amount to $338 billion over the next 10 years. And in fact, by the time we get to the 10th year, it's $54 billion a year in savings. So under the Byrd rule and under the reconciliation process, where you can pass a bill in the Senate with only 50 votes plus Vice President Pence, they can now add that $338 billion to the tax cuts that they want to do, which can do a tremendous amount of good if they pick the right things to use it for.
And push the first domino on Obamacare, because what happens with the mandate going away, the exchanges that are already in trouble will no longer have a mandated market where people will be forced to buy. And then I don't know how long it lasts, but it can't last long, and you'll see the complete unraveling of this scheme.
And Tony, it really is an unprecedented thing in this sense, too. When you look at the history of the United States, we really started building a welfare state during the Depression in the 1930s under FDR. And some of the things he did went beyond the bounds of the Constitution back then. And we haven't seen a place where we actually rolled back a significant increase in the government where they are providing benefits to people and trying to make them dependent on government. And the savings the CBO is talking about, where people are going to get off the dole because they're not getting federal subsidies by health insurance or they're not in Medicaid, is in fact rolling back a part of the government that was designed to make people dependent on the state, which is a wonderful thing.
A big, big move in the right direction, and Senator Orrin Hatch, the one doing it. Quite amazing. Terry Jeffrey, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Terry Jeffrey with CNSNews.com. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, still to come, Attorney General Jeff Sessions before the House Judiciary Committee today. Still going on. We're going to be talking with Louis Gohmert a little bit later on that. But next, coming up next, my good friend, our very own general, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, joins me to talk about our recent trip to Egypt, Iran. What do the Egyptians say? We're going to talk about it next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Program brought to you by the Family Research Council and the supporters of the Family Research Council. If you'd like to be a partner with us to bring you news from the newsmakers from a Christian perspective, well, partner with us. Go to TonyPerkins.com. This is made possible because of folks like you all across the country that are partnering with the Family Research Council. All right, still to come, we're going to be talking with Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert about the oversight hearing going on right now with Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Some heated exchanges both with Democrats and Republicans. In fact, one of those exchanges earlier today was with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan over the need for another special investigator to look into the connections with Hillary Clinton and all these things that were happening with Russia and so on and so forth. Jim Jordan's going to be with us tomorrow to talk about that. But now, right now, as we've been discussing pretty much every day, a little bit about the recent trip that we took to the Middle East. Yesterday, Dr. Michael Youssef with us talking about our time in Egypt and the desire that the leadership there has to see the Muslim Brotherhood declared as a foreign terrorist organization here in the United States. We also had discussions about Iran, and their perspective is very enlightening. And joining me now to talk about this is one of the members of this delegation of about a dozen evangelical leaders. He also happens to be the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council, our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Have you recovered from your jet lag?
Yeah, I got over there pretty quickly. And it's interesting, I was just about 20 minutes ago, Michelle Bachman and I were talking about this trip. And, you know, as we have had a little time now to reflect on the things that we saw and heard, and This was really an incredible trip, and I got so much out of it. So even the jet lag was worth it.
Well, we discussed yesterday about the universal desire to see the Muslim Brotherhood declared as a foreign terrorist organization by the United States government. Michael Youssef was on that conversation. But the president of Egypt, President Sisi also weighed in on the threat of Iran.
Yeah, he did, Tony, and it was you watched this unfold when he looked at me and said, you know, did you get it? What he had just said was, you Americans need to prepare to fight the Iranians because they have a death wish, and you've given them what they need to fulfill that. And he was talking about the Iran deal. He was talking about how we put them on a pathway to obtaining nuclear warheads. And look, coming from a guy that understands this far better than the average American, I thought that was a significant point that he was making.
Yes, and President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, prior to being president, was a military general, so he understands these things. But he essentially said that Iran is going to they're going to provoke something. They are on, as you said, they have this death wish. They want this confrontation, and they're going to do what they need to bring this about.
That's right, and the average American will not understand that at all. The average American will say, well, you know, the United States and Israel and certainly other Western powers have nuclear weapons. They would destroy Tehran, but they don't understand the theology of the leadership of Iran today. The mullahs, which are, you know, the Supreme Council is what they're called, and they're all Shia Twelvers. They believe that their Messiah will only return when they have created an atmosphere of bloodshed and chaos. And using a nuclear weapon is certainly a way to do exactly that, and particularly if they use it against their hated enemy, Israel. So this is a very serious situation, and I think el-Sisi, you saw how serious he was when he talked about this, and I think that he made his point, and we got it.
From your perspective, as you listen to what they had to say, what do they see as the viable alternative or option to stop Iran?
Well, I think that he certainly did not get into that, but I think that number one, we need to reimpose crippling sanctions on them. Our European allies will probably not follow because they have made huge investments there since the deal was cut. But that doesn't mean that America can't do this unilaterally and at least have some impact. We've got to do that to begin with. And we've got to kind of take the position that Mr. Trump has taken with regards to North Korea. You do business with Iran, you do not do business with America, and start cutting off their supplies. And then ultimately, I think we've got to have in our back pocket, we've got to have some kind of military option. That would be, God forbid, that we would have to use that, particularly against a nuclear target. But we've got to have a range of options, and it starts with reimposing the sanctions.
And there seems to be, General Boykin, a window of opportunity here with leadership like President Sisi and his administration, that there's a window here to bring greater stability to the Middle East.
I think there's no question about that. First of all, I think President el-Sisi, as soon as he took power, he reiterated that he would live by the provisions of the Camp David Accord, which means that he will not be a threat to Israel. It means that he will, in fact, be in a relationship with Israel that will not provoke a war as would have been the case with Mohamed Morsi when he was president. So I think that that's important. But I also think that when you look at what el-Sisi said to us, where he talked about Recep Erdogan in Turkey, he talked about Qatar and how they've been supporting terrorism for a long time. El-Sisi is a guy that can rally the support of many of those Arab leaders away from the Muslim Brotherhood and its offshoots. And I think that that's what he's working on right now. We need to support him. America needs to get in behind him and help support him.
All right. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us. I'll get you back on. We'll talk about the traffic over in Cairo as one day when we got time.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, the traffic in Cairo is unbelievable. I mean, I don't know how they do it. Chaotic. All right. When we come back, Congressman Louie Gohmert, don't go away.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you, we were talking about Israel. I'm going to be talking some more coming days, Jordan as well. In fact, I'm going to get Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann was with us on the trip, and we went to a refugee camp about 9 miles from the Syrian border. And 80,000 people living in that, still living in that refugee camp. These are all people who escaped the wrath of ISIS. And actually quite impressive to see what Jordan is doing to provide refuge to these people, safe haven. So we're going to be talking about that as well. But by the way, speaking of the Middle East, we're going to be taking a trip to Israel. April the 17th through the 27th, the Family Research Council, about a, I don't know, we'll have 150 or so people will be on our trip, but General Jerry Boykin will be one of the guests, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Joel Rosenberg will be a part of that as well, and you can too. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can find out more about that trip. All right, as we were mentioned, today a hearing taking place in the Judiciary, House Judiciary Committee oversight. It's wrapped up now with the Attorney General and some heated exchanges going on, not just with the Democrats, but with also with the Republicans. Republicans wanting to see more aggressive action to clean up issues left behind from the previous administration. Here's a clip. In fact, this is Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio earlier today in the committee hearing. In fact, he's going to be with us tomorrow talking about this. But here's a clip of what he had to say earlier today in his exchange with the Attorney General.
I guess my main question is, what's it going to take if all that, not to mention the dossier information, what's it going to take to actually get a special counsel?
It will take a factual basis that meets the standards of the appointment of a special counsel.
And is that analysis going on right now?
Well, it's in the manual of the Department of Justice about what's required. We've only had two. The first one was the Waco, Janet Reno, Senator Danforth, who took over that investigation as special counsel, and Mr. Mueller. Each of those are pretty special factual situations.
Let me ask it this
and
way.
And we will use the proper standards, and that's what only thing I can tell you, Mr. Jordan.
Well, I appreciate that.
You can
that,
have your idea, but sometime we have to study what the facts are and to evaluate whether it meets the standard.
Well said. So let me ask you this. If, in fact,
a special counsel. I would say looks like is not enough basis to appoint a special counsel.
Pretty strong exchange there, and it goes back to the dossier and several things. This was the dossier that was started by the Washington Free Beacon, funded in part. In fact, there's a hearing coming up later this week over GPS Fusion, which was a part of that. We'll be tracking that. Picked up then by the Clinton campaign. Then there was a person involved in that was actually funded by the FBI. After the election, the FBI briefing the president-elect Trump on this dossier, and then it was leaked. And this was all in the questioning that Jim Jordan had and asking, when are we going to have a special counsel looking into this and how this information got out there to damage this administration and so on. So we're going to be talking with him about that tomorrow. Waiting to see if we get Congressman Louie Gohmert, who was a part of today's hearing. I don't think we have him yet. But here's another line of questioning regarding the leaks. And this was the response. Oh, I think we have Congressman Louie Gohmert now. Congressman Gohmert, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's so good to talk to you, man. Thank you.
How you been doing, Louie?
Well, blowing and going. You know, God still let us have a chance to get this country back on track, so that's a good thing. But it's just amazing today to see the way there was so much ferocity in coming after a really fine, decent Christian brother, Jeff Sessions. I mean, I've disagreed with Jeff on a number of things, but he's really trying to do the right thing. He wanted to try to make sure he didn't violate any ethics provisions. But I wonder at times if some people that are not nearly as sensitive to ethics as he is, if they may possibly manipulated him. We know now that it was James Comey as the assistant AG or deputy AG that told John Ashcroft that he should recuse himself in a matter some years back during the Bush administration. And John Ashcroft took his advice, and then Comey appointed his child's godfather, Patrick Fitzgerald, so that he could go after Karl Rove and Vice President Cheney. Well, he didn't get them, and it would have been embarrassment with all the millions he spent on himself and his investigation not to have anything. So they gendered up a case that they and went after Scooter Libby. But the
Louis, we're up against a break. Can you hold on?
I know.
Can you hold on?
I sure can. I sure can.
Okay. All right. Louie Gohmert, Congressman from the 1st District of Texas, he's going to hold on. I hope you will as well. We're going to finish this conversation about today's oversight hearing with Attorney General Jeff Sessions in the House Judiciary Committee. And then we're going to be taking your phone call. So don't go away. More Washington Watch is coming back right after this message.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right. Continuing our conversation with Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert regarding today's House Judiciary Oversight Committee with the Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He was speaking to the issue of the leaks of classified information, and here's what the Attorney General had to say earlier today.
We had about nine open investigations of classified leaks in the last 3 years. We have 27 investigations open today. We intend to get to the bottom of these leaks. I think it has reached epidemic proportions. It cannot be allowed to continue, and we will do our best effort to ensure that it does not continue.
Congressman Gohmert, is this the result of some of these Obama administration holdovers that are trying to undermine the Trump administration?
That is a big part of it. But some of these, well, for one thing, you know, the Democrats believed that they were going to still be in the White House and still have control of the State Department and all these things. And so they weren't that worried about it. But then when Trump got elected, then I was told by some folks in the executive branch that the administration officials became like a whirlwind. They were making sure that political appointments, this was through December and January till the inaugural, trying to get political appointees out of the political positions they were in and into, civil service positions so they couldn't be fired, and that they got, literally thousands of people into positions where you'd have trouble firing them. And you have people like McMaster in intelligence who can't stand Trump and has belittled him. And in fact, I was told by somebody in the meeting that McMaster used the word you used, that he didn't use it, but the President Trump had said, well, we got to do something about all these holdovers, and that McMaster had already told the people that work for him, I don't want to hear anybody using the word holdover. These aren't holdovers. These are fine career people that care about the country, so don't ever use the word holdover. And then there was Trump using the word holdover, and he said basically, oh, no, we don't have any holdovers. And Trump said, well, it sure seems like, oh, well, they're either the holdover, the people from the Obama administration are either gone or on their way out. It's taken care of. And then after they walked out of the meeting, that he was belittling the president, you know, that they had him fooled, basically. But it is a huge problem. And you have those leaks like that. Most people weren't aware, but I read that the Obama administration prosecuted more people for leaks than all the other administrations put together. So I think that had something to do with it. And also, I mean, you could look, sometimes there have been leaks in the military. What happened in the military? Obama did a purge. If you weren't into transgender and political correctness and all kinds of things that Obama was pushing, then you were gone. You were out. Anybody that survived, it was a general or an admiral that survived the Obama purgings. This includes Mathis as well. I mean, they call him Mad Dog, but he is totally into the PC stuff that Obama was, unfortunately. So there's just there really has been a fundamental transformation that Obama was able to do, and it's going to take a lot of work to get us back to the government that is of the people, by the people, and for the people, instead of for telling all the people how they have to live.
So, Congressman Gohmert, then some of these leaks obviously intentional bring down the Trump administration, or trip them up, make it difficult for them to operate. But then it sounds like you're saying also part of it is the character of government has changed under Obama, and we have people in here that don't operate by the same standard of ethics and morality that is required to make government operate efficiently and honestly.
Well, and Tony, you and I have talked about it, but it's exactly why John Adams said, I mean, this government, the incredible government that the founders gave us in the Constitutional Convention, but only after they went and worshiped together on July the 4th at the Reformed Calvinistic Church, Reverend William Rogers presiding, only after they worshiped and prayed together were they able to come back and put a constitution together. But as you know, John Adams said, it is meant for a religious people, and he was a Christian. And as he said, it's not fit for the governing of any other. Unless you have a moral Judeo-Christian basis, not to everybody. You can have atheists and Buddhists and Confucianists. You have Muslim, as long as they're not trying to take out the Constitution. But the only way you do that is if it's based on Judeo-Christian values. But once the people become so secularized, then it doesn't work for them. The government has to become the moral compass, and that's when you have the fall.
Mm. Congressman Louis Gohmert, as always, great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Love you, brother. Thank you so much, Tony.
All right, good to talk with you. Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas. All right, you got a few minutes left. Here's what I want to ask you. You know, someone say, well, look, this stuff with Hillary Clinton, the Obama administration, that's over. Forget it. Move on. Really? Well, let me ask you, would you like to see the attorney general, as Jim Jordan was pointing out, to go back and investigate and prosecute those who have violated the law? I mean, just because that administration is no longer here, should we just say, forget it, move on? Or should those who have violated the law be investigated? Should we investigate, you know, he's looking at these leaks, but should we look to see if there was any collusion in terms of this dossier and trying to take down the Trump administration? the, I mean, you still have all these issues that go back, the Fast and Furious, Benghazi. I mean, there's so many scandals during the Obama administration. Is that old news? Should we move on? 866-372-7234, very quickly. Let me know what you think. Should the Attorney General investigate? And as Jim Jordan was saying, a special counsel to look into these issues and prosecute those who have violated law. What do you think? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to call to give me your opinion. Chuck Grassley, in the Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, says he thinks a special counsel is needed to look into the Clintons. He thinks that this is another issue. I'm not sure Jim brought it up in his questioning. He may have the Russian Uranium One deal and its ties to the Clinton Foundation. Chuck Grassley is saying they need a special counsel to look into that and other Obama-era controversies. And I'll tell you, he's not, Chuck Grassley's not a reactionary. He's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Oklahoma where Jenny is on the line. Jenny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. I think these people absolutely should be held accountable for all the things that they've done. People died under their watch. You know, that they would have brought this country down had they been in office very much longer, and I think they should be held accountable for everything that they've done. They should have a special prosecutor and looking into everything that was done under Hillary Clinton and Obama. My goodness.
All right.
Had it the other way around, you're darn right, well, they would have been looking into it.
Yeah, there's no question. Jenny, thank you for the call, and I want to emphasize something you said about if they still had power, they would have continued pushing that agenda, and you're absolutely right. That's why they're so mad, because they don't have power, and they thought they were going to have it, and they don't, and they're furious. Jenny, thanks so much for the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Tennessee, where Gail is on the line. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. I really do feel like that we need to weed out and bring to light all of the things that went on in the past administration. Laws have been broken, lives have been lost over many of these things, and we need justice for the American people, not vengeance, but just to bring out and flush out whatever is necessary and bring our government back into line as it was intended to be brought.
You know, that is an extremely important point, Gail. Justice, not vengeance. It is justice that is being sought here, that these things will not happen again. And part of this is instructive, and Proverbs speaks to this. I mean, we need to correct those things which are wrong, not sweep them under the rug, but say, look, this will not be tolerated. Because if not, what happens in future administrations, people think, well, you know what, I'm going to do this, and by the time the administration changes, if and when it changes, people won't worry with it, and so we can get by with whatever we want. Going after these lawbreakers sends a message to potential lawbreakers that, look, you can't get away scot-free with this. There's a price to pay when you violate the law. That's why we're a society that is governed by law. Gail, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for your ministry there. We appreciate all that you do. And your first two callers took, part of my thoughts, but yeah, I think we definitely need to have two or three special prosecutors for everyone that the Democrats appoint. They appointed Mueller, so we need to appoint two or three. And it starts with draining the swamp, and like they said, hold them accountable and justice. And someone, I can't believe that someone said that Hillary Clinton still has security access to the Pentagon. And you know, some of this stuff just needs to change quickly. I know that the president's got his hands full. You know, fighting off the media and the Rhino Republicans and establishment and everybody, but they do need to have at least two or three special counsel prosecutors appointed for everyone that the Democrats have. Thank you for your time.
All right, Joe, thank you for the call. I mean, there is so much to look into. I mean, and you look at, go back to, and Jim Jordan, and again, we're going to have him on tomorrow here on Washington Watch. I mean, he's also not only a member of the Judiciary Committee, but the House Oversight Committee on Government Reform. And so he was on the IRS scandal with Lois Lerner back when they were, you know, all the stuff they were doing to manipulate the tax code to punish conservative organizations. And the Department of Justice said they're not going to prosecute. They just let her go, even though what she did, in fact, they're releasing, they found out that the confidential tax information of the a conservative organization, NAM, it was a marriage group that advocated for natural marriage, their tax return, well, that's confidential information, was released to try to bring scorn upon Mitt Romney, who had contributed to them, which is a felony to release this document, and they didn't prosecute. There's so much back there that, again, they need to go back and look at these things because they need to send a message, this will not be tolerated. If the rule of law is the rule of law, it's got to be the rule of law. All right, let's go to Henry in Oklahoma. Henry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for your time. Listen, you covered everything I was going to say. We need to hold them responsible, and we need to really kind of bring it to an end. They're not going to learn if they don't, if they're not held responsible. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. I appreciate it. And it's instructive. I mean, it is instructive to those who might contemplate. I mean, the fool is made wise when they see that there are consequences. If nothing else, it keeps them in line. And unfortunately, not everybody is internally kept in check by a strong moral compass, and so they need external guidance. And that's what government is for, quite frankly. But if government is corrupt and government rejects the rule of law, what will the people do? It's a dangerous idea, a dangerous concept. But we've seen it. That's why I believe that a lot of the unraveling in society that we have seen in the last few years goes back to the lawlessness of the Obama administration. Now, it's kind of like, you know, one of the old, use a couple adages, the cat's out of the bag, or, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, to try to get that back in and restore what has been lost is going to be difficult, but you have to be aggressive and intentional. And that's why I think this administration has a responsibility to the American people to go back to investigate and prosecute where there has been the breach of law. All right, folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a part of Washington Watch. Again, visit the website, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.